Boy, how many of you remember? I want to start this morning with a little throwback moment. How many of you remember in 1985? How many of you were around in 1985? And you remember that wonderful show and movie? Now, maybe you weren't here when it first came out. Maybe you just saw it after the fact, like me on TV. I was here. I just was a little too little to enjoy it. And you saw what a true car could do if it simply had a flux capacitor. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, yeah, a little Back to the Future. Marty McFly, which, by the way, how cool must you be with your last name being sort of McFly? I mean, he's a cool guy. This is Michael J. Fox, one of those big breakout movie moments where he and the professor figure out that if you just get up to 88 miles per hour, look, I've tried, it doesn't work. I did it in a dream, not in real life. No police officers here. Okay, so you get up to 88 miles per hour. You got the flux capacitor. You've got a DeLorean with the wings that pop out. And if you do it just right, you're going to lay rubber, flames on the ground, and you can go back in time. And then, not only do we get to see what it looks like going back in time, in 4 years, just from that point in 1989, we got to see a glimpse of what the future should look like. How many of you always wished you had a floating skateboard that could like hover on the water? How many of you saw it and thought, I don't know how to skateboard, but if they had that, I would learn? I mean, coolest thing ever. It was great, great movies because in it, you get this, I mean, just a great sci-fi film. It's so goofy, it's so funny, but in the first one, do you remember that he goes back in time and he meets a young mom, he meets the young version of his mom and a young version of his dad, and he begins to interact with his past. And as he begins to interact with his past, interestingly enough, it began to change 1985 present. And then we see that if you just kind of do some things to change the present in the second film, it literally impacts the future. And here's the interesting thing about it. We see that movie, and a lot of us kind of go, wow, that's so mind-bending, that's so trippy. No, that's obvious. That your present influences your future. In fact, here's all I want to talk about this morning. Oh, we'll go back one. So I got it. We'll try this, okay? If it doesn't work, I'll go right to you, okay, Gabe? Thanks, man. Here's just the big idea today. Are you ready? We're looking at lessons along the road, what Jesus taught. You don't need to talk to Marty McFly to learn what Jesus taught literally 2,000 years ago. Is that your today influences your tomorrow. And the reality is your today has the potential to influence a lot of other people's tomorrow. You say, well, where does Jesus say this? Hey, he says it in two verses in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, even if you don't, let's stand together. I want to show you God's Word, and let's together dive into this beautiful passage. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 2. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about the moments in life that you interact with us that may be so small, they hold within them the potential to change the future. Now, as we listen to your word, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would have us know. We say this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is once again on tour doing his speaking thing. In fact, chapter 13 of Matthew, the crowds have pressed in so close that he gets out into a boat, pushes off from the ground onto the water, where he's able to more comfortably share about the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus has given a series of other messages already, a series of other, well, he calls them parables. A parable is simply an earthly story, an earthly idea, but with a heavenly meaning. You say, well, is that all it is? Well, that's a good summary of what a parable is. And Jesus has been talking using stories to explain the inexpressible beauty of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he started in chapter 13 talking about a man going into his field and planting a seed, and there are four soils. And then he talks about wheat and tares, and he'll talk about yeast in flour, and he'll talk all these metaphors. And it's all to express the kingdom of heaven. Now, what's interesting about this is Matthew is a very Hebraic Jew. You say, what do you mean? He knew his history. He knew what it meant to be a Jew. One of the things that the Hebrew people were very cautious of was using the name of God in a very cavalier, casual way. So you will sometimes in the Gospels hear the kingdom of heaven referred to as the kingdom of God. But Matthew, nope. He calls it the kingdom of heaven because he's not going to throw God's name around out there. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God are the same thing. He said, what is the kingdom of heaven? Heaven is where God rules as undisputed monarch, where his will is done completely, perfectly, all the time. And the kingdom of heaven, when Christ came to earth, he began to announce that up there was coming down here, that literally the place where God's will is perfectly done and expressed is breaking into this world. He is saying there's an invasion happening, and it's an invasion of God's kingdom. It is coming here. And every time a person bows their knee to Christ, every time someone does what Donna did, they come into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, I want you to understand the beauty of what it means to live in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, well, it's like a mustard seed that a farmer planted. Oh, and it did so many amazing things. And our time this morning is far too short for me to get into all of them. So if you just want to jot these down in the blanks provided, I want to show you three things, three ideas from this. Because here's the reality. As you think about what the future holds, and my family and I, let me just be honest, we've been thinking a lot about the future. And we've been thinking a lot about the past. And as we're contemplating what it means to live in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, wherever we may live, one of the things that I think is so important is as we look to tomorrow, we do not ignore today. Because what you, family, are doing today is planting the seed of the kingdom of heaven in your and other people's tomorrows. And so I just want to give you three things to sort of hang your hat on, to chew on, to think about this week, what it means. Because when influencing tomorrow today, remember this. Number one, you reap tomorrow what you sow today. When you think about what this farmer does, he goes out, he plants a little mustard seed, and then when he comes back at the time of harvest, it's not a seed, is it? It's a great big tree. Now, here's an interesting thing about the farmer. Do you notice that the farmer knows what to expect at harvest? He is not surprised when he goes out and goes, he doesn't show up and go, whoa, it's a mustard tree. How did that happen? It's a mustard plant. How did that? He is not surprised by his harvest because he paid attention to the seed he planted. I am always a little surprised by the number of Christians who are surprised by their outcome, by what they reap, and it's all because they did not pay attention to what they were sowing. Understand, the first thing you need to know about influencing tomorrow today is that tomorrow you reap what today you sow. What you're doing today, as you share the good news of Jesus Christ, as you share the love of God, as Jesus said in Matthew 25, as you share cold glasses of water with people, you will reap something beautiful. He says the first thing is that you reap tomorrow what you sow today. The second thing that I think is just so interesting about this passage is that not only does the farmer, he's not surprised by what he plants and what he sows. He also, notice this. You notice how small actions have really big potential, family? Can I show you a picture? This is a mustard seed. Can you all see that okay? Do you see what that mustard seed is sitting on? It's a hand. I had to blow this up big enough so you could see the seed, so much so that can you see the grooves and the contours of the fingerprints and the handprints of this hand? Mustard seeds are tiny. They're just, itty bitty. Our Lord says, the kingdom of heaven looks so small and so weak and so easily overcome, but small actions have big potential in God's hand. Do you notice what it grows into? He shows us this picture here. This is a sea, this is a field of mustard plants in the Middle East, and you have a gentleman who's going out to work in the field to prepare the field, to get it all ready. Isn't it interesting that this small seed becomes this great big plant? Now listen, if I were the one telling this story, I would say, look, the kingdom of heaven, it's like, it's something big, it's something grand. It's like the Rocky Mountains. It's like the great bluffs that we see out west. It's like the ocean. It's massive. But Jesus doesn't start big. He explains that God's kingdom is breaking in small ways, almost imperceptible ways. But in the hand of God, hear me now, in the hand of God, nothing is lost. That moment that you chose to speak up for Jesus' name, you think it's so small, no one will care, no one will notice. In the hands of God, it is not lost. That moment that you went through such a horrible time, maybe with health or relationship, and in those moments, instead of pulling back to yourself, but using that as a means of sharing how God is walking with you and through it, that is not lost. In the hands of God, every moment you ever have, family, every experience in the hand of God has great potential. I think about this passage, and I think about my life, and I think about your life, and I've just been wondering all week, what are some of the mustard seed moments that you've experienced? What are those small moments that have changed the course of your life? Let me give you a couple examples, maybe from our collective past. Our nation, who we are today, started from some very small mustard seed moments. I was doing a little research this week because I love history, and it's one of those things that you learn so much about. But in our collective history, if the Geneva Bible had never been written, I was reading a historian who is quite adept at some of these things. He pointed out, he said, the Geneva Bible was in many ways the starting point of America. Without the Geneva Bible, he said, there may have never been Shakespeare. How much of Shakespeare's writings have biblical references, allusions, or bases? There might never have been the pilgrims, certainly not what we think of when we think of the pilgrims who came here for the purpose of relationship with God and freedom. There may never have been the Plymouth Colony. There may never have been the Mayflower Compact. There may never have been the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. All of these things go back to a moment in time where a mustard seed moment happened and the people living there had no idea the impact of that moment. In fact, as I think about our nation today, some of us, we go, it's 21st century America. Look at it. It's not the way we wish it were. How can things ever change? In the hand of God, even a mustard seed can make great difference. I was thinking about some of the mustard seed moments that brought me to this point today. And if you'll just allow me a few extra minutes this morning, I just kind of want to reminisce with you. Can we do that for a moment? Even if you don't want me to, I've got the microphone, it's on, so we're going to do it, okay? I think about some of the mustard seed moments where you as a family of believers planted little seeds throughout my upbringing. My goodness, I've shared so many of the embarrassing stories. The fact that I'm still alive today is testament to a mustard seed moment years ago when Marcus Miller and I have shared this story before, but when we pried the doors off of the basement Second Harvest Food Bank door in this building. And as the door is opening, I hide behind it, throw the screwdriver to little Marcus. He's holding it. And Miss Peggy Grimes walks out and sees him holding it, the door leaning off of its hinges. And she goes, Marcus, I'm so ashamed. And I'm back there, yes, yes, you should be. And And I said, suck it up, just take it like a man. And Mark goes, Josh made me do it. Okay. James Craighead did not kill me that day. That is a mustard seed moment. It's a big one for me. I think about Miss Nancy Bassett. How many of you had Miss Nancy Bassett as your Bible school teacher when you were 3 years old? How many of you remember as a parent maybe watching as you dropped your children off as Miss Nancy got them around on the floor? I see so many hands coming up here. I don't remember what she taught, but I remember that she loved me. That was a mustard seed moment. I think about the old clickety-clack in the Bible Burton building at Lipscomb during the Lipscomb Bison Camp for Future Preachers. I was there. Yes, I've always been a Bible nerd. I'm up there. The plan was for about 3 days, you come in, you live in the dorms, you learn what it means to be a preacher. They took us all over Nashville. They took us even to a funeral home. And I've shared this with you before, I think, but I remember it most. I mean, this moment stays more than any other. They took us down into the special room that gets everything ready. Creepy. But, so they teach us all about what it means to be a minister and the places we'll be. And the big day, the big moment, is you have prepared all 3 days to prepare the next Pentecost sermon that you will present to your parents and loved ones for 3 to 5 minutes in length. And I remember as we're in that room in the Bible building at Lipscomb, I want to say it was the second, maybe it was the third floor, but I hear coming down those hard floors the clicking of Brother Cody Leavers Walker, as he and Miss Ann have come up the stairs to join us to listen to a 10-year-old try to preach. That's a mustard seed moment. I think about in 5th and 6th grade when Barry and Paula Clark taught our Sunday school class. I think about people like Catherine Hartsfield Smith, who was in the class with us. She was like spelling bee champion, and poor Barry, and I want to be careful what I say because he's carrying a gun today, but he just couldn't spell to save his life, and she would correct him every Sunday. Got to the point, he'd get up there, and before he'd do anything, he'd look and say, and she'd go, A, and he'd start to spell it out. Now, I don't remember what they taught, but I remember that they loved us. That was a mustard seed moment. I remember downstairs, it must have been 2nd or 3rd grade, when we were in the old L.A., in that classroom that's no longer there. You come down the stairs, and some of you will remember this. You curve around to the back here, and it was sort of that back classroom. I don't even remember who was teaching, but I remember on this particular day, the teacher gave each of us a paper bag and began to give us apples to put in our bags, and then a piece of candy to put in our bag. And then an encouraging note to put in our bag. And then he pulls out a stinky sock, a stinky gym sock. And I was a stinky little 2nd grader, and it was still very stinky. And he says, now put that in your bag. And everyone goes, well, I don't want to do that. It'll make everything else smell bad. He goes, put it in. We put it in. He said, now go ahead and pull something out. And we pulled it out. He said, notice what you put in, you will get out. You cannot watch things, listen to certain things, be around certain influences, and expect to be different. That was a mustard seed moment growing up. And there's so many more. I think about Todd Cunningham and Tracy Cunningham and the number of weeks and nights and days that we would spend together over at their house. And we just play together. Todd, you saw the picture of he and Jace, his oldest son, on top of a mountain. I was on a mountain with Todd Cunningham over 20 years ago now. And by the way, when we put our hands together, my hand did not go as high as Jace Cunningham's hand. And I remember standing there with so many on the summit, praising the God of creation. That was a mustard seed moment that so many of you have had to shape and impact. I see Ernie Scarborough back here, one of our elders from years ago. Don't tell anyone, but he's still really one of our elders in a lot of ways. And I think about the way that he and Shirley took a group of us to Poland. And we got to see missionaries, and we got to love on people, and they were, the way that they interacted with people there, that was a mustard seed moment, brother, and getting to watch you. You need to understand that the things that you did yesterday are impacting my today, and you have already impacted the future of every one of my children and my grandchildren, because what you deposited has grown up beyond what you could imagine. It's not just my life, my word. This year alone, when I think about all the mustard seed moments, I can't share even a fraction of them with you. But there were a few this year that I've thought about, or in years past. I was thinking about how right here, I'll go back one, right here just a few months ago in March, sitting in a dusty circle under a big shade tree, Sarah Nieto and some of the other women on our Nicaragua team were planting mustard seeds in the soil of our sisters there in Nicaragua. And I have no idea what will grow from it, but we are told in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, God says that his word will not return to him empty, but it will accomplish exactly what he wanted it to accomplish. That is a mustard seed moment. And only in heaven will you and I get to see how God took that one little moment, that one little kingdom of heaven, and it grew beyond our wildest dreams. I think about all the young men for so many years and young ladies for so many years, our third and fourth graders, how they would get up and they would prepare and they would share the gospel message in song and prayer, and they would preach the word of God. And guys, please hear me. When you are up here, if you open God's word, you are preaching the word of God. You don't need a title. You simply need the word of God and a mouth. Amen? And they taught the word of God this morning. So cool. I see these guys up here, but this morning I saw Mason, he's the second one from the left. I saw him over here. He was serving communion this morning. Can anyone say mustard seed moments? I think not only about these guys, I think about Love Week and other times that we've served this church. You guys remember 2010 when the flood hit? Now, by the way, I bought my house. I closed on my house the day the flood began. Bad timing. But that week, we weren't here, but the church body, David Vaughn and staff, everyone here pitched in, and while water was just flooding the streets, this was a place, it was high up on a hill. Wow, what a great metaphor. And the church of God was a place where people could come to get resources, get help. And from that moment, we began to hear from people in our community calling this place the Good Samaritan Church. A flood, nothing's wasted with God. It was a mustard seed moment. I think about not only these moments, I think about all the times that Chuck and other teachers have been with our kids. And some of these little kids, this is a picture that's about 5, 6 years old. Some of those little kids are not little anymore. But you think about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children who've come to know Jesus Christ. And some of you say, yeah, but they don't remember anything I taught them. Hey, listen, can I ask you a question? Can you tell me what you ate for dinner a week ago, let's say a year ago last Thursday? You remember what you ate? No? But you got to eat, and it gave you strength for the day, and enough good meals makes you grow strong. Just because they may not remember every meal you taught them, they are benefiting from those meals from you. I think about not only these moments, I think about just how this church is a welcoming church. One of our values is that we want to be a place where anyone can come, anyone can say, I don't know what I believe, but I want to learn. We believe hospitality is a hallmark of the Church of Jesus Christ, and you have been a welcoming presence. One of the things Donna said to Jim and I last week is that when she came in, she felt like she was home. Mustard seed moments. How about one more? Just the moments we get to spend here. I know some of you hate the meet and greet moment because you're just like, have you seen the germs that float around in a church? Yes, I know, okay? Some of you, as soon as you greet someone, you're like, Purell, and you're just kind of like doused in it. That's okay. Some of you don't like that moment because you just feel a little uncomfortable being open or shaking hands, and I don't know people. Listen to me. That moment that you welcomed someone and you were just really not up to it, I have heard stories from people who said, that was the day I was about to just quit. I was about to walk out on my family. I was going to walk out on life. I was going to walk out. But this person made me feel like I had a place. You do not know how much God uses every small mustard seed moment. And these are just a few of them. Jesus looks to this group of people and he says, you want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like? See, sometimes we get this really bad idea that the kingdom of heaven can only be advanced in the great big moments. But Jesus Christ says some of the most powerful moments are the ones that you least expect. 8 years ago, June 6th, was the first sermon I got to preach here as your preacher. And on that Sunday, some of you may remember this, I handed out to you a sheet. How many of you remember this? Or some of you are going, I, no, okay. On that Sunday, I did the best I could to sort of lay out four vows, things that I would do my best to try to do as your preacher. This week ago, my wife, she still had it in her Bible, I think is where you kept it, and she said, "Hey, you know, look what I found." I said, "Oh, that's great." I started looking back over there, and these are the things that were important to me then and are today. Vow to always teach truth, or at least as well as I can. And so for the past 8 years, I know some of you have gotten mad at me for some of the things I've taught. I want you to know, the reason we taught certain things was not because I wanted to be popular with you, but faithful to God. So I hope and I pray that I was able to teach truth, at least to my ability. Vow to work towards oneness with you through Christ alone. How many churches do you know that split and divide and backbite and gossip, and it's all because they're unified over secondary matters and not Jesus? I hope that we've been a church, and I've seen it in you. I hope you've seen it in me, that this is a church where Jesus is the one who unites us. I vowed as best I could to live up to my limits. You know, every one of us, we have limits. Can I get an amen? Your goal is not to live above your limits. Your goal and your mandate is to live up to the limits God has set for you. And the fourth one is to assume and expect the best of you. And I just want you to know, I hope that I have shown you the respect that is due you. And then we had this moment where you were invited to do the same. If anything has happened over the 8 years, I hope it's this. I hope it's this. Jesus says, you reap tomorrow what you sow today. He says that small actions have huge potential. And the third one, he makes this point. He says, and when this tree is grown, even the birds will have a home. Do you understand that the farmer does not plant his bushes for the birds? And yet what's interesting is in Christ, never underestimate your influence, because it will bless people you never anticipate blessing. Even the birds will have a home. So this is the lesson along the road. Mustard seed moments matter. What are yours? This morning, we're going to go into a time of prayer. And some of the good men who lead this church, the elders of our body. By the way, you need to know this. No minister leads the church of God. Jesus Christ is our senior pastor, our senior shepherd. And under him are the good, biblically qualified, ordained elders of the church. And some of them this morning are going to come to the front. I'm going to invite those who are going to welcome you for prayer time to make their way to the front, and some will be in the back as well. And over the next couple minutes as we sing, I'm going to invite you to consider two things. I'm going to invite you to consider, what are those mustard seeds that you're planting? What are the mustard seeds that others have planted in you? And who is it that God would have you plant a seed into the soil of their life? Because I know it can get real discouraging, can't it? I want to point one last thing out to you. Can I do that? I love this metaphor, this picture of a seed in the ground. Go ahead and let's begin preparing the room. And I love that picture, because a seed goes into the ground and is unseen for a period of time, and to the untrained person, they would assume that it's all over, it's done, there's nothing good that can come from this. Do not become discouraged because you don't see results today. Trust that God is working today for tomorrow. And I can't help but wonder if in the moments when Christ was sharing the story of a seed that would be placed down into the dirt, covered over in darkness, where no one knew if it was going to come back or not, I wonder if our Savior did not have in mind the reality that in just a few short weeks, months, or at most years, he was going to go into the ground. And the world would say it's over. But because God was in control, in 3 days he came forth and everything changed.